Hello everyone, this is Chris Maguire from John G. Lake Ministries UK and Ireland. Welcome to the podcast. And today we have a special guest with us. We have Tighe Cockcroft, and he's with us. He's one of our DBI students, actually, Dominion Bible Institute students in person here in Oxford. And welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing? Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. So, for the listeners' benefit, Tighe is a missionary with his wife Patricia, and they travel around and take the gospel of Jesus Christ with power, signs, and wonders around the world. So, I just thought it'd be good to bring him on to talk to us for a bit and just encourage us about what the Lord has been doing, and also just give us some encouragement about how the Lord can use everyone who's listening as well.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, I started off as an ordinary guy with a lot of problems myself. And for me, I already had a big transformation when I turned to the Lord, because I was in so much darkness and that. And when I did turn, there was no going back. There were no options for that. And I had various problems, psychosis, schizophrenia, I had concentration issues, memory issues, which I developed. It wasn't something that I had as a teenager. I developed through drugs and the occult. And so I deserved it in my own way, because I did it to myself. And so I committed to praying, and I wanted more for my walk with God. And then God kind of spoke to me in a dream, and I watched a video on YouTube, and I went out and prayed for someone, and they got healed. A 40-minute video, like a basic activation type video. And that changed my life. It transformed me in that I saw that God could use me, you know. I believed he had a call and destiny in my life, but there was still something resistant in the fact that I thought he used other people, and he chose special people to be used. And I was far from special in my own eyes. But according to the Lord, I was special enough.
Amen. Amen. So how long have you been on this journey now, walking this out?
I would say it was maybe 2019 I started to look for people to pray for. After that, as much as I could, I started looking around everywhere for people to pray for. I went to various churches, and I went to worship events, and I was looking for people to go out on the streets with me, because I had a lot of fear. I really struggled by myself, but I was so excited about seeing God work through me. And I don't know if my intentions were right, but I saw that God could use me to do something, and I saw miracles work through my hands, really, although it's Christ. And and it added value to my life for myself, you know. Christ has already added our value, but it's the way I saw myself at the time, you know?
yeah. So for those listening, like, what sort of scriptures would you say really helped you to understand some of these truths to start walking it out?
Well, the thing is, when I started walking it out, I struggled to watch YouTube clips, and I struggled to read scripture. And but I'd heard about being able to cast. I knew I had a basic grounding in the Bible. I'd spent some time in the 20s in church and walking with God, and I'd read the Bible, and there were scriptures that I knew. But the one teaching that I did watch, and there was, it spoke about we being made from the dust, and that we have authority over the body. And I just repeated what I saw on the video. I repeated the prayer and did what I saw on the video, and I saw results. And as I started walking it out, after 9 months, I came and did a DHT in Bracknell. I don't know if you remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was put into WhatsApp groups with other like-minded people. And I was already seeing some results in that. And then when you're around people who are like-minded, you start to talk. My theology, my thinking wasn't exactly correct at the time. There was a lot of things my traditions and things that I thought were sound in the Word of God. And also my experience didn't allow me to agree with it because I was basing my belief on my experience rather than the Word of God, you know, at the time because of psychosis and things like that, yeah.
So in walking this out, there's been certain things you've like overcome and...
Yeah. These things have been overcome, but it through seeing results made me desire to see more results.
Yeah.
And so I would watch the teachings and that more often and be around people who watch the teachings and who healed the sick. And then very soon I was asked to teach other people myself. And that also puts you in a position where you need to hear and listen to more. And as I'm going through this process of praying through for other people and walking it out, my ability to watch and concentrate was improving over time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as you were walking it out, you were actually seeing benefits for yourself as well.
Benefits for myself. Like if I'd been out on the streets all day praying for people, my concentration was vastly better than if I hadn't been doing that, you know, a day or two, you know.
Yeah, that's a good thing to take away. That is.
Yeah.
So you've been traveling as well. You've been to different places, and what sort of response do you have when you take the gospel around the world?
We do it in various ways. So sometimes I've been invited to places, or we get together as a group of friends and say, let's go to a place. We've got someone who's going to give us a... This is how it started. We've got someone who's going to give us a bed and some food and that, and they want to see some healing results and that, and go out in the street with friends and pray for people and then try and put them into something with the people that are local with us. That's initially how it started, but my first real invitation, I was invited to Saudi Arabia, and at that time, it was in the break of COVID, and I had a lot of fear and trepidation, but I thought it was an opportunity that I couldn't, I couldn't get, like, pass up is the correct word. So I said, all right, I'm going, you know, and it was amazing for me.
Wow. What would you say, like, to people who are listening, maybe, who they're aware of the call of God on their life, but they just don't know how to start, get going? Like, what would you say? What advice would you give?
For me, I kind of, like, it's not a course I intentionally planned. Just my desires changed as I did it, yeah. You know? And the more I did it, the more my desire to do the kingdom of God. And it's just like also the Lord in my walk, I think, stripped things away, and I think the devil stripped some of the things away. Like, I had my own business and all my tools got stolen. I'd gone to Turkey, came back, and all my tools had been stolen out of my van. Mm. Probably about £6,000 worth of tools. And so that was like one step. And then just before I got married, we got evicted from a house for getting married, and that thrust us into another position as well. So we were kind of, like we've heard Curry Blake say, Ekbala, pray for laborers to be thrust out into the harvest.
Mm.
We were kind of Ekbala'd into the harvest. And it was our desire to continue to serve the kingdom of God. Like, my wife had chosen and stated clearly she's doing nothing else. So I continued to do some work, but we made the kingdom of God a priority. And we just couldn't really see doing anything else.
Yeah.
There was no other desire to do anything else.
Wow. So you put the kingdom first, you sought first the kingdom, and you live by faith?
We live by faith, and I'll be honest, I'm finding it challenging. But as I go, I grow.
Amen.
I feel it is getting a bit easier as I go. And then we face certain challenges, and I think I'm slowly dealing with it better. My wife's been amazing in that she had already for 2 years submitted to give everything up, and live by faith. And she had had nothing, whereas I had a business and I could pretty much pay for and do whatever I wanted to. So it was a bit of a shock to my system. And I had found dealing with that fear of lack quite difficult. But I'd rather face my fears and walk forward than let it control me and not fulfill my destiny and purpose in Christ, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And what are some of the, maybe if you could give us a couple of examples of some testimonies that you've seen along the way of what Jesus has done?
With the first time I went to Saudi Arabia, I got off the plane and we were about to eat dinner in this house, in this where the church was, and I prayed for a guy who had been deaf for 20 years. And he got healed. That was like within the first 15 minutes of arriving.
Wow.
And there were pastors in that there. And that sort of kicked a lot off for me in churches around there at that time, you know. And opened up opportunities. And on that trip, also there was a guy called Esteban who was born blind. I think he had 8% vision on one eye. But he could only really see from about 5 centimeters, up to 5 centimeters, his phone.
Yeah.
So other than that, he was completely blind. So he held his phone really close to his eye and he could see some things on his phone. And I prayed for him and he got healed and now he can see.
Wow.
And he sent a photo of us once of him riding on a horse, and he owns a dojo, like a wrestling, he does martial arts.
Yeah.
And he has his own dojo. I know that because he contacted me because he had back pain and he said, look, I can't be there for my students, and I know that if you pray for me, I'll get healed. So we prayed for him, and he got healed. So, amen. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So also, I was just thinking, you know, if people are listening, maybe they're thinking, yeah, this sounds good, but I'm not sure if God will use me. And what could you say to them just to bring some encouragement with that?
The thing is, we've seen people who in themselves are broken and lack purpose and destiny in their hearts and just lack value in themselves. They've got no self-confidence or self-belief. And we've seen them go out and pray for someone and they've completely transformed to the point of they putting on their own events. And some have even got married. I mean, I found my wife doing evangelism at Trafalgar Square.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, because what it does is instills a confidence in you and it builds up a boldness when you're so excited to see people get saved and healed and come into the kingdom of God and demonstrate the kingdom of God, that you're willing to overcome your fears and anxieties. You grow and the boldness and the confidence grows in you. And also the way people treat you starts to change. So they start to treat you of more value, even though you're not of more value, but just because of the nature of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that builds you up inside. And I'm not talking like in a proud or arrogant way. I mean, I suppose it could, but I'm talking about just, you start to see that there's more to life and there's things far more fulfilling than, I'd say, material things and wealth, you know, to see someone who's never seen eyes be restored or someone walk from a wheelchair, or a baby's life gets saved when you pray for them.
You know?
The fulfillment and the joy that you feel in that is almost a reward in itself.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, there's nothing like it, I guess.
There's nothing like it.
Wow.
I mean, when we were in Colombia last, there was a 2-month-old baby whose bones overlapped on the skull, and there's supposed to be gaps in a baby's head. And the doctor said this is potentially could cost the baby's life. And they said, we can do an operation, but the operation itself is highly dangerous. And we got called to come and pray for the baby. And we asked the mother to put her hand at the back of the baby's head. She could feel the ridges and all of that. And we just said, in Jesus' name, bones shift. I grabbed the baby by the feet, gently, that is, and said, bones shift, bones shift. And I said, check. And the mother started to cry and she said, it's gone down. And I said, and we did, I think, three times.
Yeah.
And the ridge in that was gone and everyone was in tears and it was highly emotional, very joyous moment. There's nothing more rewarding than that. Yeah. You know?
Amen. Amen. So also, like maybe somebody's listening thinking like, how do you start approaching people? Say if it's on the street, how do you approach them? What do you say? And then how do you actually minister? What does that look like when you minister? What do you say?
To be honest, like personally, I don't think I'm very good at that. But I use word of knowledge. Okay. And I'm willing to get it wrong. Because I don't know what else to say to people. I'm not like a kind of person that says, oh, I love your shoes and you got a wonderful necklace and... Oh, you know, like I just initiating conversation was something I found very difficult. So my way originally was very bulgy and aggressive in a way. But I use word of knowledge and I've got better and better and slightly more, I don't know, I'd say subtle. I don't know if that's the right word, but slightly more friendly and confident in my approach. But yeah. I'm still not the best. And that just takes learning and facing your fears. And for me, word of knowledge was a way to approach someone because I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And it's been beneficial to me as well in other respects because I've learned how to use word of knowledge.
So like on a practical level, say if you've got a word of knowledge for someone and then you approach them, what do you do from that point? What do you do?
Well... what I do is I just say, hi, I know this is a strange question, but I believe you got pain in your shoulder. Is that true? Mm. And some people might look at you a bit strange and some people say no, but we've actually proven over and over again that the word of knowledge has been correct and not necessarily what the person is telling us is the truth or correct.
Yeah.
You know, but I do something like that. I mean, I try and sometimes use something better. And as I've been out on the streets, I see an improvement in my ability and my confidence to approach through the day, you know. Mm. So I would just ask them. And to be honest, when I started doing it, I was in Dublin, Ireland, and I just didn't know how to approach people. And everyone was out there praying for the sick and we were all seeing miracles in that. So I just thought, oh, I'll just walk up to a person and say, oh, do you have pain in your knee? Do you have pain in your back? But with the intention of using a word of knowledge, but I got it wrong.
Okay.
3/4 of the day, I got it wrong.
Yeah.
But at least gave me an approach. Because people say, oh, well, that's a bit strange. Why are you asking me that? And I say, no. Like, and then I could tell them, oh, well, we are praying for the sick and we're doing this and this. And I just want to pray for you. And even if they say, no, I don't, then say, well, do you have any pain anywhere else? And if they say no, and they say, well, do you mind if I just bless you? So it's just showing that little bit of aggression and not in a loving way, you know. And even then, if they don't have anything, you can pray. And if you're out there for a day praying for people, they'll definitely feel the spirit and a change in them, you know. And that still gives you an opportunity to try and share the gospel or to testify to Christ that he's real. So yeah, that's how I started and that's how I went about it. And I think I picked up things without even realizing or knowing from watching people on YouTube and on things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, like for people who may be listening, what would you say to them? Like to just, you know, they've heard what you've said today. They've been encouraged by it. What's the next step for them?
The next step is to go out and do it. There's no way around trying to overcome the fears and the anxieties, but is to have a commitment to do it.
Yeah.
Like for me, for 9 months, I did by myself. And I'd made a commitment to myself that if anyone asked me for money or for anything on the streets, I would ask them, do you want to give your life to Jesus? Can I pray for you? And that's how bad I was. Someone would ask me for money, I'd say, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And if they said no, I'd say, oh, can I pray for you, you know? And there were awkward times and awkward moments in the beginning. And after 9 months, I came and did a DHT and I was put in a WhatsApp group. Mm. And now suddenly there were like a whole bunch of people who loved going out in the streets and praying for people.
Yeah.
And they helped motivate me. So the second thing would be to try and find people and get people that are willing to do it and having an excitement and a passion for going out and praying for the sick and for preaching the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're running out of time, but we just want to say it's been great having you with us. Thank you for being with us today.
Amen. It's been a pleasure, Chris.
And just to finish off, just want to ask if you'd like to pray for the listeners as well, just to finish off the podcast here.
Okay, sure. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the listeners here. We thank you that in their hearts, the desire to serve the Lord and do the kingdom of God. So we just take authority over any fear and anxiety right now. We just say, go in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you give them opportunities that ease them into doing the kingdom and that they see and take those opportunities and increase the desire to serve you, Lord, and to manifest your love, your power, and to just demonstrate the kingdom of heaven wherever they go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So thank you all for listening. We hope you found this helpful today. We trust you have. And you heard what's been shared. But the important thing at the end is to go and do, to make that step to go and do. So be blessed, be healed. And we look forward to you joining us next time on the John G. Late Ministries UK and Ireland podcast. Be blessed, everyone. Thank you.